الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد In our previous class we were reading المسألة الثانية والثلاثون From the affairs of الجاهلية And that was that the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى كفرهم بالحق إذا كان مع من لا يهونه كما قال تعالى وقالت اليهود ليست النصارى على شيء وقالت النصارى ليست اليهود على شيء وهم يتلون الكتاب كذلك قال الذين لا يعلمون مثل قولهم فالله يحكم بينهم يوم القيامة فيما كانوا فيه يختلفون And the affairs of Al-Jahiliyyah is that the people of Al-Jahiliyyah they would reject the truth and they would disbelieve And the haq, if it came from someone they did not like. If it came from someone they did not like. And this is just as Allah the Most High, He mentioned. And the Jews, they say that the Christians are upon nothing. Meaning that their way is falsehood in entirety. And the Christians, they say that the Jews, they are upon nothing. Meaning that they believe that their way is upon falsehood in entirety. And Allah, He mentioned about them, and all the while they recite the book. And in both of them, both parties, the Jews and the Christians, they're both reciting portions of the book. And some portions of that book is affirming and verifying that which is with each party. That which is with each party. But because of their great love for their party, as we have seen, that they, whenever they divide into groups, and they oppose the command of Allah Azza wa Jal from the punishment that will befall them is that they will be pleased and satisfied with their own group and they will be upon falsehood yet believing that they're upon the truth. So this is the example of that until the extent that they will refute and reject and deny the truth simply because it's not coming from their party and not coming from the people that they respect or that they like. That they respect or that they like all the while they're reciting the book meaning the evidences are with them yet they reject them clearly. And like this, the people who do not know, they say the same thing. And the people of ignorance and the people who have no knowledge, they say the same statements where they have the same position. Allah, He will judge between them on the day of resurrection and that which they differ. And that which they differ. So this is the issue of al-hawa. Of al-hawa. يَرُدُّونَ الْحَقِّ إِذَا جَاءَ مِمَّا لَا يَهْوَوْنَهُ إِذَا جَاءَ مِمَّا لَا يَهْوَوْنَهُ That they reject the truth or they deny the truth and they do not accept the clear truth when it comes to them from someone they do not like. So the issue of al-hubbu, what bughdu is of utmost importance to study and to learn. And this is from the fundamental foundations of the religion and the proper understanding of the shahada and la ilaha illallah wa anna muhammadan rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that a person he will love Allah and he will love for the sake of Allah and he will love those whom Allah loves and he will love that which Allah loves and his love will be based upon his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and likewise this requires and necessitates for him to hate likewise and to dislike and to detest that which Allah he dislikes and detests and all of this should be checked by the reins of the legislation so although a person he will despise someone or dislike them or have hatred for them at the same time if they have rights upon him he will not let that hatred carry him to violate those rights he will not let that hatred carry him to violate those rights. Rather, that hatred will be checked with the reins of the legislation. With the reins of the legislation. And likewise, if a person, he loves someone as well, he loves them truly for the sake of Allah, then he will check that love with the reins of the legislation. And there are great trials with regards to our emotions and the actions of the heart. And the actions of the heart. And from the head of them is the action of loving. The action of loving and coming along with that is hating and disliking. So this must be purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person he will love and he will love for the sake of Allah and he will love in moderation. And likewise a person he will hate and despise or detest but he will do that for the sake of Allah and therefore it will be in moderation because the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the path of moderation. كَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا And like that we have made you a nation of moderation, meaning the best nation. And خير الأمور أوساطها لا تفريطها ولا إفراطها خير الأمور أوساطها لا تفريطها ولا إفراطها that the best of the affairs is that which is in moderation not going to extremes nor being negligent so the path of the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم in which he opposed the people of Al-Jahiliyyah with regards to, from the Jews and the Christians and the pagans, is that the love is checked by the reins of the legislation, and a person, he will not let his love for a people or his detest for a people cause him to reject the truth or cause him to have al-muhabbat. He will not let his love for someone cause him to fall into favoritism and deny rights and to transgress the limits. And this moderation in loving and hatred has come clarified in the Book of Allah and in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from that is a narration which is collected by Tirmidhi and been authenticated by Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullahu ta'ala from the Haditha Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu. And it's really an amazing narration to ponder over in regards to this affair. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, أَحْبِبْ حَبِيبَكَ حَوْنٍ مَا فَعَسَى أَنْ يَكُونَ بَغِيضَكَ يَوْمٍ مَا. That you must love the one whom you love in moderation, because maybe someday you would despise him. أَحْبِبْ حَبِيبَكَ حَوْنٍ مَا فَعَسَى أَنْ يَكُونَ بَغِيضَكَ يَوْمٍ مَا. That you must love the one you love in moderation, because maybe someday you will despise them. Maybe someday you will despise them. So no doubt the believers and those whom Allah loves, we love them, the pure love. But still it's in moderation. It will not carry a person to show favoritism and to neglect rights because of this love and the likes like this. And then in any case, it will be checked by the reins of the legislation, because maybe someone will love someone today and then later that same person will become his enemy. And he will despise them. Maybe he will love someone today for the sake of Allah, because of their religion and because of their deen. And then something will change in their life and their heart will deviate and they will leave Islam, or they'll fall into deviation in the likes like this. And now the person, he will begin to despise him. Or maybe one day he is his closest friend and he loves him and honors him so much. And then after some time, something happens and he betrays him. وَلِيَذْهُ بِاللَّهِ. These things, they happen. So a person, he has to check his love with the reins of the legislation. And this means that it will be in moderation. This means that it will be in moderation for the sake of Allah. And according to that which is beloved to Allah. And according to the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, on the other hand, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَأَبْغِضْ بَغِيضَكَ حَوْنٍ مَا وَأَبْغِضْ بَغِيضَكَ حَوْنٍ مَا فَعَسَى أَنْ يَكُونَ حَبِيبَكَ يَوْمٍ مَا. And that you must despise or hate the one that you hate, detest the one that you test with moderation, because maybe someday he will be beloved to you. Maybe someday he will be beloved to you. Maybe there are people now, they're disbelievers, and we see them upon a foul way, and we despise them and detest them. Maybe they're using drugs or selling drugs, or maybe they're drunk or the likes, or in other affairs that are very lowly, that whenever a believer will see them, will say, A'udhu Billah, and despise that person and hating for the sake of Allah. And maybe next week or next month or a year from now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will favor that person and guide him to Islam. And maybe he will study and learn the religion and become upright. So a person, he will love for the sake of Allah and hate for the sake of Allah. And it has been reported authentically from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, أوثق عور الإيمان الحب في الله والبغض في الله. أوثق عور الإيمان, the strongest bond of faith, الحب في الله والبغض في الله, is to love for the sake of Allah and to hate for the sake of Allah. So therefore it must be again for the sake of Allah. So a person, he will check his heart and his love and his emotions, his hatred and the likes, with the reins of the legislation. And if he's overcome by his desires and he begins to love for his own soul and showing favoritism and the likes for his tribesmen or for his people or those who look like him or those who support him and the likes like this, not observing the rights according to the legislation, then now he is falling into those affairs of al-jahiliyyah. Those affairs of al-jahiliyyah. And likewise, on the other hand, if a person, he were to despise somebody and to hate them, yet he let that carry him to transgress the rights and violate the limits, then likewise this is from the ways of al-jahiliyyah. This is from the ways of al-jahiliyyah. So the truth, whenever it comes, a believer, he will accept it. The truth, the clear truth, whenever it comes, a believer, he will accept it. But again, there's a difference between accepting the truth from whoever brings it and from going and searching for the truth. So likewise, a believer, although he would accept the truth whenever it comes to him from any avenue or any direction or whoever says it, he will not go seeking for the truth except from the people of truth. So there's a difference between somebody seeing the truth or hearing the truth or the truth coming to him from a certain direction, and from someone going out looking for the truth and searching for the truth and asking the people to teach him So a person who will go to the people of the truth, and he will learn and sit at the feet of the people of the truth, and he'll learn the truth from the people of the truth. And then once he's identified the truth and he's able to verify the falsehood, now he knows that whenever the truth comes, he will be able to identify and he will say, that's the truth, even if an innovator said it, or even if a disbeliever said it, or even if a Christian came with it, or a Jew, and the likes like this. So he would do just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, صَدَّقَكَ أَبُوْ وَكَذُوْ. He told you the truth, but he's a liar. So if the Christians, they come with the truth, they say, he said the truth, but he's still a Christian. He's still a Christian, the greatest liars, claiming that Allah has a son. That's the greatest lie, وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ أَكْذَبُ الْكَذِبِ. So he said the truth, alhamdulillah, but he's still a liar. He's still a Christian, or he's still a Jew, or he's still an atheist, or he's still a pagan, he's still an idol worshiper, or he's still an innovator. He said the truth, okay, he's still a Khwani though. This doesn't change the reality. He's still upon innovation, he's still upon deviation. So we've been ordered to put the people in their proper place. Been ordered to put the people in their proper place. So in any case, this was from the affairs of al-Jahiliyyah. From the affairs of al-Jahiliyyah to reject the truth because it did not come from one's tribesmen, or from one's people, or from those who one likes and respects. So after this, the author, he says, الثالثة والثلاثون إنكارهم ما أقروا أنه من دينهم كما فعلوا في حج البيت فقال تعالى ومن يرغب عن ملة إبراهيم إلا من سفه نفسه. He mentioned now, رحمه تعالى, the 33rd affair from the affairs of al-Jahiliyyah, and that is that they reject or they deny that which they affirm is from their very own religion. Something they affirmed that is from their very own religion that they ascribe to, they will reject it and deny it. They will reject it and deny it just as they did with regards to the pilgrimage to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah the Most High, He says, وَمَنْ يَرَغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِهَ نَفْسَهُ. And no one would turn away from the way of Ibrahim, from the religion and the methodology, the path of Ibrahim, except for the one who befools himself. يعني ما يرغب عن ملة إبراهيم الحنيفية إلا سفيه جاهل. يعني no one will turn away from the pure way of Ibrahim, the way of al-Hanifiyyah, except for an ignorant fool. So this is something that happened with the Jews and the Christians, and likewise with the pagans. And all of them, they used to ascribe to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah, He refuted this ascription from all three parties in His book. In the statement of Allah the Most High, مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًّا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًّا وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَمَا كَانَ Min al-Mushrikeen, that Ibrahim, he was not a Jew nor a Christian, rather he was a Hanif, Muslim. He was a Muslim who was upon the pure religion of Islamic monotheism, true and sincere devotion to Allah alone, in obedience and servitude. Wa ma kana min al-Mushrikeen, and he was not from the pagans, So he was not a Jew, nor a Christian, and nor was he an idol worshiper, alayhi salatu wasalam. Rather he was Hanif, Muslim. He was kana hanifan musliman. He was hanif, meaning someone who was devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely. The people of knowledge, they mention al-hanif, al-muqbilu ala Allahi, al-mu'ridu amma siwa. Someone who is devoted entirely to Allah and turning away from everything besides Him. And he devoted with sincerity and with devotion and servitude and obedience to Allah azza wa jal. And devoted to that with great sincerity and truthfulness, and striving upon the obedience of Allah and submission and surrender, turning away from everything in opposition to that. Al-mu'ridu, al-muqbilu ala Allahi, al-mu'ridu amma siwa. This is the definition of al-hanif, and this was the description of Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, kana hanifan musliman. And his millah, his deen that he was upon, al-hanifiyyah. And this is the religion of pure Islamic monotheism and devotion and servitude to Allah with tawheed and with submission and surrender and obedience. So the people of knowledge, from the Tabi'een, from the likes of Qatada and Abu Aliya, rahimahum Allah ta'ala, they mentioned about the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, وَمَنْ يَرَغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِهَ نَفْسَهُ. And no one will turn away from the way of Ibrahim except for the one who befools his own self, and except for someone who is an ignorant fool. Is an ignorant fool, Qatada, and likewise Abu Aliya, rahimahum Allah, they mention a similar interpretation of this verse, and they say, مَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ مِلَّةِ رَغِبَ عَنْ مِلَّتِهِ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى. It was the Jews and the Christians, they're the ones who turned away from the way of Ibrahim. فَأَخَذُوا الْيَهُودِيَّ وَالنَّصْرَانِيَّ بِدْعَةً لَيْسَتْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَتَرَكُوا مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ. And they had taken Judaism and Christianity as an innovation, and a new religion that they innovated and made up themselves, and it was not from Allah. And they left the way of Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام, يعني الإسلام حنيفا. كذلك بعث الله نبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بملة إبراهيم. And they turned away, the Jews and the Christians, they turned away from the way of Ibrahim عليه السلام, and they innovated new religions, and they called them Judaism and Christianity, اليهودية والنصرانية. And they turned away from that which Allah sent Ibrahim with, which was al-Islam. And likewise Allah, He sent His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the same religion and way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam. Allah, He mentioned in His book, وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنْ اتَّبِعْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And like this, we have revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَنْ اتَّبِعْ you, أَنْتَ يَا مُحَمَّدْ, أَنْ اتَّبِعْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ, that you must follow, that you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, must follow the way of Ibrahim Hanifa, the way of pure Islamic monotheism. وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, and he was not from the pagans or the polytheists. So the Jews, they claim to follow Ibrahim. Yet whenever the Qibla was changed to the house built by Ibrahim and his son Ismail alayhim as-salatu wasalam, they refused that, and they denied that, and they rejected that, and they would not follow the Qibla whenever it was changed, whether they found fault with that. And likewise with regards to the pilgrimage to the house, and there is a great consensus, and it's well known that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he's the one who built the Kaaba. With يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. And this is something that is well known. So the Jews, they claim to ascribe to Ibrahim that they turn away from some of the greatest rights that he was upon in his religion, in his way. From that is the pilgrimage to the house of Allah. And likewise the Christians as well. They do not make the pilgrimage nor find that to be from the rights of their religion. Rather, they deny that. And this is from the greatest rights and the greatest actions of worship and servitude that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was upon. And likewise the pagans and polytheists as well, they rejected and denied some of that. And them as well, specifically Quraysh, they ascribe to Ibrahim likewise alayhi salatu wasalam, and they are from his lineage, and they ascribe to his way. Yet they had introduced much falsehood into the way of Ibrahim, and also likewise into the rites of Al-Hajj. And from that is that, from the rites of Al-Hajj, is that the pilgrims, they will stand on Arafah. They will stand on Arafah, on the day of Arafah, and then they will go to Muzdalifah. But it's known that Arafah is outside of the area of the Haram, and Muzdalifah is inside the area of the Haram. So Quraysh, they claim that they were the people of Allah. They called themselves the Humps, any of those who were the people of Allah, and the children of Allah, and those who were beloved to Allah. So they refused to go outside of the Haram, and they performed all of their sacred rites inside of the Haram, claiming that they had a status and a rank over the people. So from the ways of Quraysh is that they would stay in Muzdalifah, and they would not go to Arafah. They would not go to Arafah, although knowing that this is from the way of Ibrahim. And they rejected that and denied that, although they ascribe to that way. So this is from the ways of Al-Jahiriyyah, and you will find many of the people about Islam, many of the people today ascribing to Islam, yet they deny some of the great rites of Islam and denying much of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And many times that which carries them to do that is their desires and their whims, or that which they have found their forefathers upon, and blind following absolutely without any evidence or proof. So this is also from the ways of Al-Jahiliyyah. The author, he says, Al-Rabi'a wa Thalathun. Al-Rabi'a wa Thalathun. The 34th issue from the affairs of Al-Jahiliyyah. أن كل فرقة تدعي أن كل فرقة تدعي أنها الناجية فأكذبهم الله بقوله هاتوا برهانكم إن كنتم صادقين ثم بين الصواب بقوله بلى من أسلم وجهه لله وهو محسن بلى من أسلم وجهه لله وهو محسن. So the author, he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى, the 34th affair. And that is that every party, and every one of these deviant groups, and these different sects, they all claim that they are the same sect. And each one of them. So we've seen in our previous class from their ways is that they had divided. وَكُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ And every party from amongst them, any pleased and rejoicing over that which they are upon. This was from the ways of Al-Jahiliyyah. This is from the amazing signs of the authority and command of Allah Azza wa Jal. But here likewise, along with that, they're claiming that they are the same sect, and that they are the people of paradise, and everyone besides them is in the hellfire. وَقَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا وَقَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا And they claimed, and they say that no one went to paradise except for the Jews and the Christians. And meaning that the Jews, they say that no one went to paradise except for us. Except for us. Even they mentioned about themselves likewise, وَلَنْ تَمَسَّنَ النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ And they claim that the fire will only touch us for a number of days. And he confessing to their sins and their shortcomings, but claiming that because of their high status with Allah Azza wa Jalla, it will only touch them for a number of days, and they are from the people of paradise. So even if they're tried with the fire, it will only be a brief and short period, and they will be in the Jannah. And likewise, the Christians, they have the same claim. وَقَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُّهُمْ قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ Allah, He says about them, these are your false hopes. These are your whims and desires and your false hopes. قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ And bring your proof if you're truthful. So this is what the author, he's referring to here. This verse here, that they claim that no one went to paradise except for Jews or Christians. Any of the Jews, they claim they will enter, and no one else. And the Christians claim they will enter, and no one else. And Allah clarified that, تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُّهُمْ These are their false hopes. These are their false desires. These are their whims that they have made up in their lives that are not true, nor are they real. So the Shaykh, he says, فَأَكْذَبَهُمْ اللَّهُ بِقَوْلِهِ So Allah clarified that they're lying with this statement. هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ Bring your proof if you are truthful. If you're truthful that you and your group are from the people of the Jannah and the saved sect, then bring your proof to clarify that. And if the rest of the mankind, those who are not from your sect or not from your group, are ascribing to your religion or methodologies from the hellfire, then bring your proof if you are truthful. Because this is a major affair and this requires a proof and evidence. Because lip service is easy to claim that so-and-so to say that him and his followers are from the people of Jannah and you and the rest of mankind are from the people of the hellfire, these are claims that are easy to make and lip service that is light. But there must be evidence to verify that and to clarify the authenticity of that statement. And it must weigh up in the scale of evidence. So for this reason, Allah, He says, هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ Bring your proof. Bring your proof if you're truthful. So this affair here requires proof. It requires evidence. And the affairs in the religion in general, they require proof. And they require evidence. And to establish any ruling, it requires a proof. And it requires an evidence. And if not, then mere claims is something that is easy. Allah, He mentioned about the Jews and Christians. وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَ نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاءُ And the Jews and the Christians, they claim that we're the children of Allah. That we're the children of Allah and His beloved ones. That we're the children of Allah and His beloved ones. And this is what they claim for themselves. That we're the children of Allah. And we're the ones who are close to Allah. We're the ones who are beloved to Allah. We are the people of Allah. And those besides us, they are deviant and misguided. So likewise in this verse as well, Allah, He says to His Prophet, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, قُلْ فَلِمَ يُعَذِّبُكُمْ بِذُنُوبِكُمْ Say to them, Muhammad, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if they're the children of Allah and His beloved ones, then why does He punish you for your sins? Then why does He punish you for your sins? بَلْ أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقٍ Whether you are human beings from those whom Allah created. يَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا وَإِلَيْهِ المصير. Rather, you are only human beings from those whom Allah has created. And He forgives whom He wills, and He punishes whom He wills. And the heavens and the earth belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all that is between them, and the return is to Him. So these claims, they are easy. These claims that they are easy, but it requires an evidence and a proof. Likewise, in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were individuals claiming that they love Allah. There are individuals claiming that they love Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tried them, and He revealed a verse. He revealed a verse, which is known as Ayat al-Mihna, Ayat al-Mihna, or Ayat al-Imtihan. It's the Ayat of the verse of the test and the trial, and it is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala: "Qul in kuntum tuhibbun Allah, fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah." Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you truly love Allah, then follow me, and then Allah will love you. Then follow me, and then Allah will love you. So after the coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the evidence that someone truly loves Allah is found in following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the true sign. The true sign of love for Allah azza wa jal is that a person, he would hold fast to the methodology and the way of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what the author is referring to. Likewise, thumma bayyana as-sawab, and then he clarified the truth. Yani Allah azza wa jalla in this verse mentioned their claim that no one went to paradise except for the Jews or the Christians, clarifying that these are false hopes and whims and desires that have no value and no weight whatsoever in the scale of evidence, and then ordering them to bring their proof if they're truthful, and then clarifying. Now the author, he says, ثُمَّ بَيِّنَ السَّوَابِ, يعني ثُمَّ بَيِّنَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ السَّوَابِ, and then Allah Azza wa Jal, He clarified the correct understanding in the proper way, بِقَوْلِهِ, with His statement, بَلَى مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجَهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٍ, rather, the one who surrenders his face to Allah while he is a good doer, while he is a good doer. And he clarifying the means to enter paradise. The means to enter paradise is bi Islam al-wajhi lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, bi Islam al-wajhi lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, bi tiba'i rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bi ihsan al-ittiba' or bi ihsan al-mutaba'a lil-rasuli sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is by way of making the religion purity and sincerity for the sake of Allah. Making the religion purely and sincerity for the sake of Allah. This is the meaning. بَلَى مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجَهَهُ لِلَّهِ, rather, the one who surrenders his face before Allah. This is an indication for the obligation of al-ikhlas, the obligation of sincerity and purity of intention. The one who surrenders his face to Allah. And he meaning the one who directs his self in entirety, wholeheartedly, devoted to Allah alone, in servitude and submission and humble obedience. In servitude and submission and humble obedience. But even then, this is not enough. وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ, and he is a good doer. The people of knowledge have clarified likewise what this means. While he is a good doer, meaning while he is following the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this verse here is clarifying the proof. هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, bring your proof if you're truthful. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies the proof, and that is in making the religion sincerity and purity wholeheartedly for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani establishing the two shahada, and establishing the shahadatain, the shahada, shahada an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, but the shahada anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is in the statement, bala man aslama wajhahu lillahi wa huwa muhsin. وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ, rather, the one who surrenders his face to Allah, meaning the one who submits himself to Allah wholeheartedly and sincerely with an intention that is pure, seeking the reward from Allah alone and nothing from the worldly life, yani meaning that he is truly following the way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, al-hanifiyya, وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ, while he's a good doer, meaning while he's following in that devotion, while he's following precisely in that devotion, in that servitude, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the evidence and proof for the saved sect and for those who are going to be in paradise. This is the description of the saved sect and of those who will be in paradise, of those who will be in paradise. So everyone is claiming that their group is the saved group, that their sect is the saved, is the saved sect. They, the Jews, they say they're in Jannah, and everyone else is in the fire. And the Christians, they say they're in Jannah, and everyone else is in the fire. And this deviant sect likewise, the Sufiya, the Naqshbandiya, and the Tijaniya, and this one, and Qadianiya, and this one, and this one, and they all have these claims that they're in the Jannah, and those who are not upon their way are in the fire. But the evidence to establish this is by returning back to the Qur'an and the Sunnah and the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, in order to determine who was upon the straight path and who will be in Jannah. Because the guidance was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the companions, they're the ones who learned the guidance from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that Allah, He mentioned about them that Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Him, and that they will be abiding in gardens of paradise, and gardens of paradise with rivers flowing beneath. Allah, He mentioned this about the companions in more than one verse, in more than one chapter, in Surah At-Tawbah, and likewise in Surah Al-Hadid, a number of verses clarifying that the companions, وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى, and all of them Allah has promised in paradise. This was in reference to the companions. وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى, and Allah promised all of them paradise. Those who fought with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and spent their wealth before the conquest of Mecca, and those who came later after the conquest of Mecca, كُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى, all of them Allah promised in paradise. So the companions, they are the people of paradise first and foremost from this ummah, along with the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they are the safe sect. And this is just like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in the well-known narration that we all are aware of, the hadith al-iftiraq, وَسَتَفْتَرِكُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ عَلَى 73 فِرْقَةً. And this nation is going to divide into 73 sects. كُلُّهَا فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا وَاحِدًا. All of them are in the fire except for one. We've seen the statement of Ibn Kathir in our previous class in reference to this affair. And in some wordings of this narration, the companions, they asked who? Who was that saved sect? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ عَلَى مِثْلِ مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ الْيَوْمَ, وَأَصْحَابِ, those who are upon the likes of what I'm upon today, and my companions. So therefore, the safe sect is the sect following the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. So this is the scale to determine. Who is following the safe sect, and who is following the deviant ways. The proof lies in establishing the shahada, making the worship and devotion, the servitude and obedience sincerely and purely, wholeheartedly for the sake of Allah. And in the application and performance of that, holding fast to the laws and legal ways of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what the companions, they were upon. And they're the ones who have informed us about this way. And their way is the way that is pleasing and that is accepted. So if we hope to be upon a way that is pleasing and accepted, then we must follow their way. So their way is the safe sect. Their way is the safe sect. So therefore, the safe sect is the sect that is upon that which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon in his companions. This is very easy to understand. Alhamdulillah. So from the ways of Jahiliyyah is to make these claims with no evidence and no proof. So opposing this way, the way of this true safe sect, this is from the ways of Jahiliyyah. الجاهلية الخامسة والثلاثون التعبد بكشف الأورات كقوله وإذا فعلوا فاحشة قالوا وجدنا عليها آباءنا والله أمرنا بها. The author now, he mentions the 35th affair from the affairs of الجاهلية, and that is that they used to worship and seek nearness to Allah عز وجل by revealing their privates. وليعوذ بالله, by revealing their privates, uncovering their awrat. At-ta'abbudu bi-kashfi al-awrat. They used to worship. They would engage themselves in actions of worship, but even that it would draw them near to Allah by exposing their privates, by exposing their private parts, by exposing their awrat. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ كَقَوْلِهِ, like the statement of Allah, وَإِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً قَالُوا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهَا آبَاءَنَا وَاللَّهُ أَمَرَنَا بِهَا. And whenever they do actions of indecency, the word fahisha is being used here is referring to the sin that is hideous and a great action of indecency and a foul and lowly action indeed. قالوا وجدنا عليها آباءنا والله أمرنا بها والله أمرنا بها. They say, whenever they do these actions of indecency, they say, we found our forefathers doing that, and Allah, He orders this, and Allah, He ordered us with this. They made two claims, that they found their forefathers doing this, so this is an evidence for them. We have seen that that is a false proof, and this is from the ways of al-jahiliyyah, blind following the forefathers without any evidence or proof from their revelation and guidance. And they claim now falsely, speaking about Allah without knowledge, that Allah, He orders that. That Allah, He orders that. And the author, what he's referring to, is the issue of the times of al-jahiliyyah, that they would make tawaf around the house of Allah in the pilgrimage and in the umrah, bare naked, without any clothing. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. They would come to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they would not enter into the haram and into the area of the Kaaba if with their clothing on that they had committed sins in. This was from their creed. So they would refuse to enter into the sacred area with clothing that they disobeyed Allah in. So if they did not have any money to purchase new clothing from the people of Mecca that they didn't sin in, then they would go bare with no clothing. They would go bare with no clothing. So this was from the traps and the tricks of the devil, making them believe that this was a good way. So they believed that these garments they have on, they had committed much sin in them. So it's not proper for them to enter into the sacred area and to make tawaf around the house of Allah with these filthy clothes that they committed sin in. So the devil had deceived them with this doubt and convinced them to exposing their awrat, and even doing that as a means to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jalla and making tawaf around His house, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So if they did not have the wealth or the means to purchase new clothing to make tawaf in, that they did not sin in, then they would make tawaf bare with no clothing, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. The male and the female alike. And even it's been mentioned from one of the women that she mentioned in lines of poetry, as she's making tawaf in this manner, bare with no clothing, on الْيَوْمَ يَبْدُو بَعْضُهُ أَكُلُّهُ وَمَا بَدَى مِنْهُ فَلَا أُحِلُّهُ. On this day, some of it is showing, or all of it, but that which is seen from it, I do not allow you to look at it, or to touch it. Yani, like this, and she will maybe cover even the privates, even al-awrat al-mughallada, the whole entire body will be shown, and they'll be making tawaf around the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla in this manner, and believing that it's a means to draw them near to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So this was from the ways of al-jahiliyyah. Allah, He says, qul inna allaha la ya'muru bil fahsha. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed Allah, He does not order for indecency. And they're claiming that this is something that Allah ordered them to do. أَتَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Do you say about Allah that which you do not know? And again, this is from the great ways of al-jahiliyyah, and from the worst of all ignorance and deviation, to speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without knowledge. And from the greatest steps of the devil is to speak about Allah azza wa jal without knowledge. To speak about Allah Azza wa Jal without knowledge. Rather, a person, he must bring the evidence, as has preceded in the previous point. قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bring your proof if you are truthful. Bring your proof and evidence if you are truthful. For this reason, it's been mentioned that the obligation of Hajj was legislated in the 9th year. Yet the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not make Hajj himself until the 10th year. And he did not make Hajj himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until the 10th year. And this is because in those times still there were individuals making tawaf around the Kaaba naked and bare with no clothing. And likewise, there were pagans as well making tawaf around the Kaaba. And it's not suitable for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be in the likes of that company. So in the 9th year, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu as the Amir to lead the people in Hajj. And also he sent Ali and Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhuma to go around Mina and around Mecca and to proclaim that no one, ala yatufa, ala yahujja, ala yahujja ba'da amina hadha mushrikun, wa la yatufa bil bayti uriyan. That no pagan will ever will ever make Hajj again, and nor will any person make tawaf around the Kaaba without any clothing on, any bare and naked. Any, this was proclaimed. So they're coming through, they're making Hajj with the leadership of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Ali and Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhum and others. They're announcing this and they're proclaiming out loud, no pagan will make Hajj again. No mushrik will make Hajj again. No pagan will come back here again to make these rites. We'll make these rites, and no one will ever make tawaf again bare and naked. And this is finished. And then, alhamdulillah, it was established in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came the next year. So this has been mentioned from the wisdom why the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not hasten to make Hajj whenever the obligation was first legislated. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.